Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three here on the Turbo Thursday. We're going to get you all the way to Friday, close out the week. But before we do, let's talk about illegal immigration. But let's talk about it this time from a state perspective. There was a bill in 2011 when I was a freshman senator in the Alabama State Senate that was referred to as House Bill 56, sometimes referred to as the Beeson-Hammond Act. That thing passed by a vote of 67 to 29, pretty much on party line votes in the House, and came upstairs to the Senate where it was voted on 25 to 7. I was one of the 25, proud to vote for it. The Beeson-Hammond Act was attempting, I think many times, ahead of its time, to put some measure of state control over what was considered to be an out-of-control federal government lack of response to illegal immigration. And oh, by the way, that was 2011. Look at where we are today. Now, much of it was enjoined. Much of it was unwound in the liberal courts. But I cannot help but believe that maybe we're in a different day. Well, somebody who apparently agrees with that is a friend of the show. He's been on several times before. State Senator Chris Elliott represents the Baldwin County area. He's been involved in state politics at the local level as a county commissioner and otherwise. Longtime Republican, and he's on the line right now. Senator Chris Elliott, how you doing?
I am doing great. Great to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Well, listen, man, you know my history with it. That was the... If I had to pick a time that was the most contentious, and we had some, but the most contentious moment that I saw in my time in the Senate, it was that Beeson-Hammond Act. I mean, we had protesters in the hallways. We had people calling our houses. You know, we had people locking arms in the hallway so that we couldn't go vote. And it was nuts. We had to call security constantly. And yet we got it passed. So you're thinking, is there a new day? What do you think?
I do. I mean, first of all, when folks are doing stuff like that, that means you're moving the needle and you're doing something right. You're rolling some of this woke nonsense backwards. And we've seen our share of that as well. Although I will say, Phil, I think I might have been better suited for your time in the legislature than my time in the legislature. It just seemed a little bit more sporting back then. but we need to get back to that. Well, I mean, we really do. And listen, I'm not one to reinvent the wheel if we don't have to. And I think some of the things that y'all were shooting for in Beeson-Hammond was good policy. And again, like you pointed out, it was overwhelmingly passed by both chambers, signed by the governor, and then, you know, promptly, you know, picked apart by the federal courts and the likes of the ACLU and others. And so the good news, if there is some, is that I think the federal courts have changed. I think that's undeniable, right?
Yeah.
We have courts that are full of Trump appointees that look at this differently, and certainly the Supreme Court. You can't deny that there aren't more conservative justices on the Supreme Court. That this, of course, never got that far. But I think it's clear that we ought to look at this again, and to the extent that we have appellate rulings that we can craft law around, I think we ought to give that a shot, as well as looking at some different measures that deal with, you know, driver's licenses or putting fees on remittances. Anything we can do to make illegal immigrants say, I don't want to go to Alabama. That's what I'm trying to do.
And I think that makes sense. And I mean, I look back at some of what we did, and I do think it was a bit ahead of its time. I mean, like an example is in 2014, I was the only senator who dropped a bill in. And we called it the bathroom bill. And it was basically to prevent transgender use of bathrooms so that women did not have to feel insecure in the women's room. And I was laughed at and lampooned by members of the press. And look where we are today. And I cannot help but think that this immigration bill that we had in 2011 was kind of the same. And yet, look where we are today. The level of impact to our culture right now and society and our systems and our government by illegal immigration is far and away what it was in 2011. You can see the anticipation of damage if we don't do something.
That's it. And it's getting worse. I mean, it's not just the level of, it's the trajectory of the growth, and it is getting worse. And so we have seen a couple of high profile scenarios around in Baldwin County in the state of Alabama. But in Baldwin County, what we're seeing is continued steady illegal growth. because there are jobs here, and folks are hiring illegal immigrants to do those jobs. And while it may sound good from a business standpoint, it is enormously taxing on our education system and our healthcare system.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes these folks are not paying taxes. They, you know, when they're in our school setting, they do not speak English. You are starting to see some Central American migrants coming in, legal or not, however you want to put that, that have not ever been in school before. It's not just that they don't speak English. It's that they're older kids and they've never been in school. And then we can't just have a Spanish teacher anymore that's speaking Spanish. It's all kinds of different dialects from all over the place, these kind of mountain Indo dialects. People, we don't even know what they're speaking, and how do you help this kid that doesn't know what it's speaking? So the burden on our education system is huge. And then when you look at ERs and hospital visits, I mean, we can talk about rural health care all you want to, but if we continue to have those burdens placed on hospitals, we're not fixing the problem. We're making it much.
Well, and you guys have been in the news a bit down there. I mean, North Alabama's had its share with Sylacauga and Athens and Marshall County, the Boaz, Albertville area, certainly had its share, even in national news. But Fairhope down there in your neck of the woods has had some pretty contentious. And Fairhope's a beautiful little artsy town, and they've had some pretty contentious town council meetings. But then you've also had your sheriff recently in Baldwin County, one of our growth counties, by the way, Baldwin County on the Eastern Shore, has said that he has MS-13 gang activity going on right now in his county.
Yeah, and that was one of the great things about this trip down to the border, is it wasn't just legislators and it wasn't just law enforcement. It was, and so your legislators were matched up with their sheriff or police chief, and that we were able to exchange, what are you seeing practically on the ground? And while we don't have yet a huge influx of these Haitian parolees, we have seen steady illegal immigrant growth, especially in central Baldwin County. And so the sheriff was speaking to and about that, and it is very much criminal activity. I mean, these are problem folks, and we need to do whatever we can do to secure the border. It was just so disheartening, Phil, to go to the border and see pieces of the President Trump's border wall sitting there exactly where they had been for the last 3.5 years. You know, concrete plants idle, not, you know, and an unfinished wall when all the pieces are there to do so much of what we need to do to stop illegal migration to the country.
Well, so let me ask you this. Do you foresee a bill or a package of bills related to illegal immigration in the next legislative session for the state of Alabama?
Phil, I do. I do think that the outcome of this presidential election is going to certainly drive the level of interest and urgency, of course, in that package of bills. But I can tell you right now, there is a package of bills being drafted currently to be ready to go if we end up with a President Harris. That's the first time I've said that. It is not good at all.
Wow.
But if we end up in that situation, we are going to need to take action and take action quickly. And the Alabama legislature will be ready with a package of bills. And these are House members and senators, both about 6 or 8 in both chambers. So, I mean, you've got good support from both chambers ready to go and to move forward. New bills that deal with driver's licenses, again, remittances that deal with schools, or again, we're going back through Beeson-Hammond and trying to pull out what we can from there, that deal with registration of these sponsors that are required under this parole program, this Biden parole program. I mean, it's everything in the kitchen sink, and we're doing that because when we went to Texas, we asked them point blank, look, we know this is a federal, immigration policy is federal, got it. What are you doing to dissuade illegal migrants from coming to Texas? Because they've seen huge decreases in both illegal border crossings and surrenders at ports of entry. And this is what the Texas folks told us. They said, we have just made it really uncomfortable for them to stay here. And so while they may enter here, they keep right on going. And so I want to make sure that they don't keep right on going to Alabama and they keep moving somewhere else.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I mean, it's not like and by the way, we're not a non-benevolent society. I mean, Alabama is a very giving community. But the reality is, at some point, I wrote a piece for one of my op-eds recently, and I said that forced benevolence does not work. You cannot force someone to be benevolent and demand they give their resources, because that's not the spirit of giving. And yet we are a giving society, and we want to help. But having people dropped off in your front yard and you're just told to deal with them and use your resources to do so is no kind of way to build goodwill or benevolence.
I totally agree with that, and I am confident that Alabamians would be willing to take on the burden of purchasing whatever transportation they needed to go to a blue state.
Well, listen, you guys come up with a bill, and I've been in your shoes. I've even fought that same fight. You guys come up with a bill or a set of bills, and this show is going to give you all the air cover in the world, and we'd love to see it happen, all right?
Well, we're ready to go.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott from down yonder in Baldwin County, we appreciate you. Get her done, man. All right, is he going? All right, good deal. All right, listen, that's the kind of thing I want to hear. And I love him saying, you know, that we were sporty back then, because, brother, we were sporty back then. But there's more to do. When we get back, I'm going to tell you about that Beeson-Hammond bill, what it was, what did it stand for? And it wasn't that scary. And the fact that some of it got enjoined was really because I do believe we were in a different time. But no one can say that the things we were talking about in 2011 haven't come true these 14 years later. Oh, my gosh. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.